May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Snapshots of the good news. He's our champion from Matthew chapter 4, our gospel lesson. I wish to start this message with a simple but disturbing fact. We are at war, and retreat is impossible. If you disregard this fact, if you disbelieve it, you're going to misunderstand so much about your life, what is happening all around you, to you, and to people you care about. There are forces of evil arrayed against you. And to doubt that and to make light of it or to consider Satan a joke makes you an easy target. You will be unshielded. You will be vulnerable in the extreme. And yet we hear it all the time. Temptation is fun. Temptation is excitement rather than a trap set ready to spring on you and cause you harm. Typical is the comic Born Loser. I've updated a little bit. A husband unable to sleep asks his wife, "May I ask you a question, Gladys?" "Oh, sure, what is it, honey? Is your love for me beyond temptation?" he asks. "Say Ryan Gosling was trying to woo you away from me. Would you still love me?" I added Ryan Gosling. Okay, right. Good choice. Right. And Gladys replies, "Of course, dear, I would still love you. And I would miss you very much, too." Now that's funny. But the problem is, we've made the whole idea of temptation funny. It's funny to be tempted. And worse, we've made temptation to be desired. Las Vegas is advertised as what city? Sin City. You know it really well. Where you're sure to be tempted. And they also have this slogan, right? What happens here stays here. But of course that isn't true. What happens there doesn't stay there. It affects you. You carry it with you. Changes things. The evil one has a hideous goal for you. A war is raging for your soul, and it's time to wake up, and wake up now. Jesus begins his ministry with a trip to the desert. The first man, Adam, was tempted while being in a beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. Sin was unleashed there, and man and the earth have suffered ever since. In this earth-ravaged land, the wilderness, the desert, Jesus, the second Adam, is ready for a showdown with Satan, all arranged by the Holy Spirit. The whole encounter was staged just the way God wanted it to be staged. Jesus hadn't eaten in 40 days. I think the great understatement of the scripture, he was hungry. How many days have you gone without food? Has anybody gone 7 days without food? Anyone? No one? Okay. I was just going to say the early service, must be much more devout than you. I know, having gone some time without food, that after a while you reach a period where you can handle it. But then, 40 days, that is right on the edge of starvation. Go beyond 40 days and you're going to die. Jesus was right at that point. It would not be by physical power. It would not be by intellectual power. It would not be even having a strong will. But it was a total reliance on the Father and His Word that Jesus would contend with the evil one. And the blows came fast and furious. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Temptation is pretty clear. Doubt who you are, Jesus, and use your powers selfishly. Jesus was desperately hungry. Why not turn one little stone into a piece of bread? A bagel, a little one, without cream cheese, right? Just a little one. What would be the harm in that? Just a little use of my divine power for myself in these terrible straits. This is the parable of the way temptation works. Experimenting just once with a little bit of illegal drug. What's the harm? Sharing that first intimate conversation with someone other than your spouse. There's no harm there. Slipping that first dollar out of the cash register. Taking a few stamps from the office. Nobody's going to miss it. It's not a problem, really. Telling that first little white lie. I had good reason. Saying yes when you should have said no. You know, it's in your power to do these things, these little things. But if you listen carefully, you'll hear the hiss of the serpent. Jesus strikes back at the devil, wielding the word of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil attacks again with another clever, insidious suggestion, temptation. Taken to the highest point of the temple, the devil tells Jesus to throw himself down. And out comes a truly diabolical and cunning trick. He quotes Scripture, twisting the meaning ever so slightly. God will command the angels concerning you. They will catch you. And it will be a stunning display of power. And the world will know who you really are. This temptation ought to scare you a lot. Because the devil's agents are all around doing the very same thing. Reinterpreting, twisting the Scripture, making people comfortable in sinning. It's happening everywhere. The devil wanted Jesus to win people over miraculously by this act instead of a sacrificial sacrifice, that is, of his life, his death, instead of love. For us, this is the temptation of fame, to have people love us by some kind of dazzling way that we might do that, to become our own God. The last temptation of the devil is one he uses so successfully to this day, time immemorial. Sell your soul for money, things, possessions. Make a God out of them. It works so often on us. Go God's way or have this. We do make gods of things, don't we? Jesus strikes down this temptation as well, using the word of God. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. You know, there should have been a historical marker in that desert. And it would have read this way. For the first time ever, a human being met and fought the devil one-on-one and defeated him. Jesus is our champion. The good news is we never, ever have to take on Satan alone. Now listen to what all this means with regard to our ongoing battle. What is the top goal of Satan as it concerns us? The number one goal of Satan is to separate you from Jesus by any means possible. One way he does this is to separate you from other Christians, from the church. Without the cover of Jesus, without the cover of the church, you are incredibly vulnerable. In the days of Moses and the Israelites, Moses and Joshua would say to the people, do not be afraid of the enemy. Do not fear them, because the Lord will go in front of you and he will fight for you. And you will defeat the enemy. In fact, this was literally true. In one foray against a very strong enemy, the Israelites didn't suffer one single casualty. The Lord went before them, the angel of the Lord, and like a hornet, he defeated the enemy. Men who were known to be warriors, strong armies, not a single casualty. We need to have Jesus out in front of us. Say the name of Jesus out loud when you're tempted. Let him fight for you. Let him bring you the victory. He's our champion. He has the devil's number every time. Secondly, in this ongoing battle, we are in need of the Word of God. It is our bread and butter. It makes us able to defeat temptation. Is that TV show Survivor still on? Anybody know? Don't you watch television? Well, I read an interview of a woman who appeared on the Survivor reality show. And she was in the interview. She told the interviewer that you could bring five things with you. Well, when she asked if she could bring a Bible along, the producers of the show said no. They said, we allowed that one time and it didn't work the purposes of our show. She said her experience was this. Little by little, she became changed. She used ugly words, developed intense jealousy and hatred for the other contestants. This is exactly what the producers of the show wanted. She told the interviewer, "I didn't realize how weak I really was." Now, we eat food for physical sustenance. If you go without food for any length of time, you'll start to get weak. You will. But it works the same way when we talk about the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God in your life, you become weak in a different way. You become weak spiritually. You become unable to defeat temptations in your life. You need the Word of God so you can say, well, I'm just going to eat for the month, and I'll be strong for the whole month, food-wise, right? Does that work? No, it doesn't. It doesn't work spiritually either. I'm just going to eat. I'm going to take in all my Bible, all the Word of God, just one time. In fact, I'm just going to do it Christmas and Easter. And you're going to be weak. And you're going to be run over. You know, I've been urging you to read the New Testament. By the way, I've set a goal of 375 people reading through the whole New Testament, okay? I'm about at 100 of you, okay? I got a long way to go. We're 2 months down, no problem, because it's a small book. If you haven't signed up for this, would you do it on the gray card? I get graded on my goals here. And I'm starting to sweat it a little bit, okay? So if you haven't already signed, a lot of you have already done it. Thank you, 100. And if you're a child, you can do it too. You can do this. You can do it. The Word convicts you of your sin, and then it points you to Jesus, to His grace and His forgiveness and His love and His salvation. Jesus used the Word to defeat Satan, and you can do the same thing. You can use God's Word to defeat temptation, mainly to defeat Satan. Finally, it has to be said, you will be tempted and you will sin. Has anybody stopped sinning here? Has anybody done that? Can you decide tomorrow, I'm not going to sin today? I don't think you'll make it past 10 o'clock. That's just being honest and truthful. We're tempted and we sin. But Jesus is our champion. And just as each of us share in the consequences of Adam's sin, so each of us share in the benefit of Christ's obedience. For just as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of that one man, many will be made righteous. That's a good thing, isn't it? Well, to make it even clearer about what the gospel does for us. You know, there's many little stories that come out that you hear that just clarify what Jesus done for us. And one such story was a French writer, Henri Barbusse. He was in a trench full of wounded men during the First World War. While in that trench, he overheard a conversation. He wrote it down in a story of his. One man in the trench was dying, and he knew it. He had only minutes to live. He turned to another man and said, "Listen, Dominic, you've led a very bad life. Everywhere you're wanted by the police, everywhere you go. But there are no convictions against me. My name is clear. So here, take my wallet. Take my papers. Take my identity. Take my good name, my life. Quickly, hand me your papers that I may carry all your crimes with me into my death." Isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? He took all our sins into His death, and He gave us a new life. That's the gospel. Practically, that means we will be tempted, and unfortunately, we will sin. We will not be knocked down, but we can get right back up. A battle may be lost, but not the war. Not the war. We know who we are. We've been given a new identity. We are redeemed. We're beloved. Most of all, we are forgiven by our champion, Jesus Christ. Jesus is in front of us. We have the Word of God, and He is our Savior. Satan, we're going to fight back. And by the way, Jesus is with us. In His name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise.